Blog Talk Radio.
On a specified
1,000.
No plane.
What?
Lieutenant.
No.
Draw by both.
On North.
Yeah, how many times I want to tell people, stop turning that dial. You got it right. This is Taino Radio, and I'd like to thank everyone. This is DJ Stanakori. Thanks for tuning in, and all those listeners who are live. This is going to be a great show. Thanks for being with us tonight. All you future listeners who are downloading this show, thank you. Thank you, and pass the word. Okay, all shows are archived, and we're going to have a great show today. And we got some guest speakers going to be speaking tonight in Taino Radio. And it's going to be amazing. This is the Indigenous Caribbean Power Hour Activism Show. This is the first show talking about activism, okay? And what better active people that we're going to have today? Two Taino women, as Darlene Flores and Charlie Inaru. And we're also going to have some other guests as well from Newton, Massachusetts. It's going to be an amazing show. And I just can't wait. But guess what? Let's start the show with a song. How about that? And this is the song written by Juan Luis Guerra from the Dominican Republic back in 92. I said this many times when the Caribbean was celebrating 500 years, the discovery of the Americas by Christopher Columbus. Quietly, Juan Luis Guerra, while everyone's celebrating in the streets, he cut an album. And one of the songs he cut was Arreto. So we're going to have an Arreto tonight. We're going to have a fun time. Here we go. True story, Juan Luis Guerra, he was attacked for his album. He wrote several songs in the Taino language that he got some people to write for him, and he got criticized for it, for just singing a dead language or a dead culture and not celebrating. So kudos once again to Juan Luis Guerra, Dominican Republic, awesome singer. I'm going to close the show with one of his songs as well, another song from his album, Arreto. But right now, let's have some fun. Let's go to Newton, Massachusetts, and let's hook up with Charlie Inaru. I know you're there. Can you hear me?
I am here. Thank you, Sanakori, for having me on this show. I really am grateful and appreciative. Thank you.
Oh, man, you're welcome, man. This is it, man. This is... Wow, you know, on the first show, you were talking about a lot of things going down, working on this Indigenous Peoples Day, right, in Newton, Massachusetts. So give us some updates. What's going down?
Our event is going down.
That's it.
it's going down.
That's what I heard.
All around You better believe it.
Congrats.
Yeah, New and Indigenous Peoples Day, the committee, even, you know, with Crisiada, she's also on the line. She's our vendor coordinator, working hard, busting her tush, making sure that all the
perfect I'm sorry to disturb you. Let's get her on. Can you introduce her to the our audience?
On the line as well is our vendor coordinator from Indigenous Peoples Day Newton Committee is Crisia Villon. And there's a group of five of us. Darlene, she'll be coming on very shortly. But yeah, Crisia is our main person here with vendor coordination, getting things organized when it comes to food vending and the state.
Well, she's on the line now.
Like that.
She's
on.
Hey. Hello. Thank you for having us. I'm excited to be invited as well. My name, as Charlie has said, is Crisia Villon. My people are from South America. I'm Peruvian of Quechua ancestry. And one of the things that I'm really excited about is the leadership of two really powerful Taíno women leading this. Both in just getting recognition around the day in and of itself, but then also coming, you know, bringing to fruition the celebration, the ceremony, the event, and to be working alongside such a really powerful group of people who are so well-intentioned and really coming together to bring many Indigenous communities to be represented at this event and celebration. So, it's been a wonderful experience to get to know so many people.
Wow, that's great. Man, I can feel the energy. You know, later on, I'll play some Quechua music. Are you familiar with Renata Flores? Renata Flores?
Yeah, of course. She's dope.
Oh, man. I don't have any tracks on her, but I've been trying to get her downloads. But I'll play something from YouTube later on. I love her. She's great.
Okay. She is.
Wow, man. So let's go for it. So I can't believe this. This is a great night so far. So Charlie Naru, but please, from the first show we did, it was some issues with the marathon and blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah, blah. What's going down?
Right. So from the first show, we were talking about how the marathon changed its date from, you know, its normal run in April to Indigenous Peoples Day, October 11th. And we were really, really frustrated with that change. And we like, I don't know if I had done it already at that point of time of the talk show, but I had started a change.org petition that got almost 50,000 signatures. And
that's incredible. 50,000?
Yeah, that was crazy. We really, really, like, we had so much support. We actually have more signatures than participants for that marathon, believe it or not. So that was very, very powerful.
There you go.
But with that being said, and all the support behind that, and the supports from other nations and the city, we ended up getting in contact again, you know, with a final meeting with the Boston Marathon people, with the BAA, and it was great. Like, it was such a soft because it was, we were as we should be, calm, collective. We wasn't trying to make serious demands and forceful or anything like that. We were just coming as we were and saying, listen, you did this, that, and the other. You didn't consult with Indigenous peoples. That wasn't right. We have our celebration, our ceremonial celebration to happen on that day, and now it's difficult. Now we're working thrice as hard to have our celebration because resources are being given to the Boston Marathon, to the BAA, and that was unfair. They claim that they spoke to people and spoke to city officials and told
But that was not true. That was untrue. And but when we finally got into an agreement and had the meeting with the BAA and came at them correctly, they came back with an apology and land acknowledgments that will that's going to be done at that day and things like that. So, and then they, you know, they did a donation to IPD Newton, which is fantastic because now we have the funds to be able to for the infrastructure and pay the artists that are coming and things like that. So, I mean, it's been a wonderful experience here on out.
Oh, wow. So they actually donated, the marathon donated money.
Mm-hmm. They did. Yeah.
Whoa, kudos. Kudos to them. That's major.
Charlie, right? They issued a public apology, too. It came out in the Boston Globe, and it was on all the TV stations.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you know what?
It felt so good just watching that on Channel 7.
Wow. Well, you know, I was trashing them, so I gotta give them an apology. This is amazing. Wow. This is – well, you know what? When justice smacks you in the face, you can't deny it. And you ladies, you made it happen. This is amazing, the committee. You all made it happen.
It was a group effort. It was definitely a group effort.
Wow.
And it wasn't just us, our committee. There was federally recognized tribes also in the work. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, there were allies. Our allies, everyone globally were sending in letters. We had so much support. And I want to say thank you to everyone that backed us up on this. Because, again,
mm-hmm.
we're a group
That's
of five.
Amazing.
But it took all of us collectively as a unity, natives, non-natives alike, to allow this to happen.
Yo, that is crazy. This is the new movement, right? The beginning is near, not the ending. The beginning. This is what it's looking like. People uniting. Who were the five in the committee? Can you share the names? Or?
Of course. So there's myself. Charlie Naru, there's Dr. Darlene Flores, Carice Avillon, who is the vendor coordinator. We have Terry Prasad, who's our clerk. She's fantastic. She's the one that handles all the paperwork and computer stuff. She's amazing. Without her, we would probably, lose our brains. Then we got Emily, who's our treasurer, and she keeps everything intact, all accounted for on her spreadsheets. She's fantastic.
That is
we also
That's
have
great.
Jacqueline. Various yeah, thank you. Jacqueline. Thanks, Patricia. We have Jacqueline, who's our PR person. She does the marketing and she's wow. She is a powerhouse. She's like so robotic. She's like a machine. She bangs out all this marketing stuff right before your eyes, and you're just like, you just did that? And it's everything is always so beautiful, so presented very, very well and eloquently. It's beautiful. And then you have our volunteers that help us with phone calls and emails and things like that.
Yo, that is dope. That's, you know, I'm glad you share all that because it goes to show. You just don't wake up one day and say, oh, we're going to have Indigenous People Day. It takes planning. It takes effort. It takes passion. And this is the ingredients we just listened to. Wow, that's amazing. For all of you listening out there, listeners who want to do activism work, you just heard some key ingredients. And it sounds like it's all women, though, it sounds like, right? That's cool.
For the most part.
Definitely, definitely.
You know, we get stuff done.
Like, yeah,
I know, right?
Countless hours.
That's why it got done.
Yeah. I mean, I'll wake up at 7:30 in the morning, and now that school started, 7:30 in the morning, I get my son ready for school. I drop him off, and I sit down, and I'm on IPD status. I'm like working, creating, doing this, doing that, running around the world all day long until like midnight when it's when I finally can't keep my eyes open anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And to that point, you know, there's
those of us that have committed our time to this, we are all volunteering our time. Most of us have full-time jobs. Some of us have multiple jobs. Some of us own our own companies and businesses, and then we are doing it. And I have to say that this is, just like Charlie just said, there's some days where I'm like, okay, today is going to be IPD day, and I spend the whole day, and it's like a whole other job. And, you know, we are just volunteering our time to do this because each of us felt and feels so strongly about bringing our community together and also educating people. You know, we wanted this to not only be ceremony and celebration for us, so that we're visible, but also as a way to educate the community around us about who we are, you know, not just about who we've been, but who we are today, right? So we want people to see that we're alive and well and visible and still here, right? So, yeah. And that's been a beautiful binding thing with all of us that have been working on this celebration for the past few months. It's been about, you know, giving those extra hours, and sometimes it is in the middle of the night, still working on stuff and getting some artwork done and voting on things via text messages and all that kind of stuff just to get it done. But it's been a really beautiful and powerful experience.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You know, I've done a lot of events, and it's not easy. The successful ones is when people work together and get the job done together, not just one person spearheading it. Wow, this is beautiful. And look, you got a whole marathon to stop in his tracks, right? To stop in his tracks and say, wait a minute. Yeah, this is not so good that we're doing. And they gave money. Wow, that's deep. So it goes to show the power of activism, indigenous activism, in a good way. It wasn't like you guys are fighting and, you know, whatever.
Right.
Counting coup,
the
you know.
The power of voice. Yep, the power of voice.
Yep.
That's amazing. It took patience, I guess. You know, a lot of patience on your part, right? On all your part, the committee, to get
right.
this done. Wow, that's beautiful. Now, I saw some flyers of the vendors. What event? Who's coming out to represent the vendors?
Oh,
that must have been a huge job.
Yeah, that's all you, boo.
Yeah, we have a lot. So besides vendors, I want to say that it's not – we have a tremendous lineup of speakers.
Oh, yeah, the lineup.
Poets,
yes.
Dancers. We have drummers and singers. We have people vending jewelry. So we have wampum jewelers. We have painters. We'll have three different painters doing live demos of painting on the site. We have – the food, we do have a native-owned, Wampanoag-owned food truck that will have seafood and coffee. It's such a variety of different people. We have folks that are nonprofits and wellness organizations also doing informational tables about local businesses in Massachusetts that are Taino-led or otherwise indigenous-led. BIPOC-owned businesses. We have anything from like home decor to Reiki being done. So it's very varied, beautiful folks. Yeah, it's everywhere. It's all over the place. We got a woman who does, the title of her business is a little bit long, but it's Ancestral Womb and Wellness, Vientre Medicina, and she does like balms and salves and stuff for like pregnant women and women who've just had, you know, for postpartum stuff and all kinds of like just beautiful things that's happening. And people are coming from all over New England, up from New Jersey, from New York, like all over the place over here in the Northeast. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's very, very, very exciting. It sounds like, and how long is the event? Man, this is, people don't want
to
leave.
It's going to be, we have it set currently from 12 to 5.
Okay.
And we may extend that time frame a little bit more because we have a lot of exciting things happening, and I know we can squeeze it all in 5 hours, but right now publicly we've posted it as 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. on October 11th on that Monday, and it'll take place at Albemarle Field in Newton, Massachusetts.
That is, and where's the after party? No, I'm just kidding.
Ain't nobody coming to my house.
Yeah, her house is the most easily accessible from there. That's perfect.
All I know is I don't know how in the world you're going to shut this down, because this is like, you got all these natives together.
That's some facts right there. Yeah, that's facts.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, no one's going to want to leave this event.
I know, man. Once you show up, you got all the food, you got the vendors, like the performers, like, and Columbus is not around, and it's like, oh man,
that's right.
Like,
he is long gone, that dude. Yep.
So let me get this correct. So Newton no longer celebrates Columbus Day. Newton, Massachusetts.
They do not.
And it's
correct.
Indigenous People's Day. That's huge.
Yeah, and that was voted on. That was voted on in November of 2020. That's when that changed.
Wow, look at that. Are you getting resistance
from the
community?
Right? Yes. I mean, when we were getting the permit, we just thought we were sort of checking off boxes and getting the permit for the field where we'll be hosting the event. And there were definitely, and there was and it was an open forum for community members to come and speak their voice. And we thought it was going to be, you know, people concerned about noise levels or parking or traffic and things. And
all right.
There were no questions or concerns about that at all. It was really an opportunity for those that felt that it was wrong that we weren't celebrating Columbus Day and really felt like they had to voice it at that meeting. And it did feel
right.
Like a little bit of an attack. And it was uncomfortable, I have to say. I got moved to angry tears a couple times, and then got moved to loving tears when there were supporters on that same meeting who showed their love and their alliance with folks, including Italians, for Indigenous Peoples Day and all, you know, other groups. And the park where this is at and the neighborhood where the celebration will be hosted is historically, not deep historically, but sort of more recently historically an Italian neighborhood. And so people were up in their feelings. You know, and made it about something that meeting was not supposed to be about. The meeting was just supposed to be about, like, saying yes or no to the permit, but it ended up being a very politicized debate and got us off topic and track a little bit. But ultimately, we got the permit, so didn't really matter. But, yeah, we've gotten some of that. And Charlie also, you know, I think she's been keeping an eye on Facebook. We've gotten some stuff on Facebook as well.
And what's the argument on their side to keep the holiday? Did they verbalize that in this meeting, in this public meeting?
Mm-hmm.
There's
two positions. I think there's the one position where they just feel like Italians deserve to have a holiday. So, and for them, it, no matter what the history or who the man actually is or was, that they feel that that's an Italian holiday and they shouldn't have to give that up. And why take over Columbus Day? Why not just have a different day that's Indigenous Peoples Day? But then there's the other argument that it's about, and they all were very clear, those that were opposed to having this event in that, it really was that neighborhood and that park, but it was also about the day. They really did not want Columbus Day to go away, but they were perfectly fine with there being a celebration for Indigenous people.
Interesting.
And yet they let that cloud their judgment in that meeting about, well, this isn't about a debate about whether this event should, rather about Columbus Day at all, because that's already been voted on. That was voted on in November. So I don't know why we're talking about that right now, but I think that was about ethnicity and nationality a little bit. And it was also, I think, about people feeling like something's being taken away from them. And, you know, we all tried to voice what we voiced to explain that, you know, celebrating Columbus is celebrating genocide. And so, you know, if you see it from a different perspective, then maybe you can have a different kind of understanding about why it's about a replacement of and why it is necessary to do. And they're like, cancel culture, this and that and the other thing. And it bothers me when there are these little sound bites and people get, you know, hooked on phrases that they get sort of, you know, against something with these little sound bites and not really think about the humanity behind the things that they're saying and how hurtful sometimes those words can be and not finding that compassion, how that feels when you're the recipient on the other side of that. Um, so So
well said. You know, a couple of times in Taino Radio, I mentioned that in New York City, I was doing some research that when the Italians first came to New York City, they tried to assimilate them in American culture. And the Roman Catholic Church received a lot of funding, just like the boarding schools from the federal government. And the main goal was make sure these Italians become American. They're old ways they can't bring here to America. And actually, there was a priest that was killed. It was Italian community actually killed the priests for trying to do that, trying to assimilate them to American culture. So I know they're very passionate about their culture, but this, you know, we all need to be educated that Columbus is, he's not the man, he's not the one to represent Italy, right? Or the Italian people.
Right. I mean, like, why not St. Francis? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a good
point.
Like, I just, there's other... Yeah, I mean, like, there are other Italians that should be celebrated, and they should absolutely have a holiday because they did beautiful things while they were here on Earth, you know? And so I don't know what the fixation is with this dude, but, you know.
You know, I remember in 2000, Time Magazine had a poll of who was the most popular person, historical person in the millennium, whatever, and St. Francis was first place before Jesus. Was St. Francis. So that just reminded me of that. That would be a perfect candidate, right? Get him in there, man. Oh, man. This is, what can you do, right? We can only fight our battles, right? So that's wonderful. Charlie Naru, what was I know the obstacle, definitely, the community change is hard and this and that. What surprisingly was difficult for the committee after that? Was there, actually, it was the marathon, and then there was the Italian community. What surprised you all that it was like a stumbling block? You know, for any activist that's listening, any future activists, you know, what's something that I guess was like a stumbling block along the way?
Like a wall? You're asking what was like a wall that kind of put a pause in things to make us, okay. So from my perspective, because I am Taino, because I live in Newton, because I live in an Italian neighborhood, how do I say this without saying this?
Hey, it's a talking stick. You can share.
I'm just going to just say what I have to say. So during all of this stuff, during our outreach, or when I was doing outreach, I was assaulted twice. Verbally.
What? You assaulted? What do you mean? Verbally?
Verbally. I was assaulted verbally because I am an indigenous woman trying to have a celebration for indigenous peoples in an Italian supposed community. Because where I live, that's the predominantly Italian American people, and when I mean, I wasn't physically assaulted, I was just verbally assaulted. Either way, it still holds an impact mentally.
Yeah.
And being in front of my son's school, talking to a teacher, and about Indigenous Peoples Day, because a child, not my child, another child, saw me in regalia, was thrilled because that particular day, there was an indigenous talk with an indigenous author that did a Zoom presentation for all the kids. And after that, the child comes out of the school and sees me. And now I'm up close and personal, and the child was like, oh, my God, you're so beautiful, da-da-da. Okay, so I'm explaining in IPD to one of the teachers and a bus driver that child got on the bus, sticks his head out the window practically and yells at me like, it's Christopher Columbus Day. I don't know why it's being changed. I don't know why it's changed. It's always going to be Christopher Columbus Day, no matter what, for us. And we weren't even speaking to him. Like, he wasn't part of our conversation. And that was really tough for me because I am in my regalia doing outreach for this ceremonial celebration. And then he did that in front of the children, which was Ooh. I can take it. I'm an adult, but he did that in front of the children. So an obstacle for me was still trying to do outreach, knowing that this was going to happen. And right after that, the second assault on the same day was when I was doing outreach, going to, and I think this was before you, Caricia. I was going to local businesses, literally right behind my house, letting them know, trying to invite them, be part of the community, come and enjoy these festivities. And I got, like, pretty much shushed and ran out the door. I wasn't even able to say who I was.
Really?
The minute I said, hi, my name is Chalina, and they were like, oh, and because I was in regalia, the person was like, oh, we don't celebrate that. We don't support Indigenous Peoples Day, you know, and that was really ignorant, and it was wrong, and it saddened me. So that was an obstacle because of where our celebration is being held. And the one main thing was that everyone was afraid that there were going to be a lot of abutters and maybe a possible protest or rally against our celebration. So that was really tough, but we pushed through that. It kept on going.
Wow, that's scary. That's scary because you don't know what they're capable of doing. What people are capable of
doing.
Yeah,
it was actually really interesting in the meeting that we had to get either given or not given the permit to host the event in that park. The one question that was given to, and it actually started the meeting, like the one question that we got from one of the commissioners was, basically, I'm not saying verbatim what he said, but basically like, oh, are you going to have security or police detail in case you have like some other, like a situation will happen. And I thought, why would you start a meeting asking us basically if there are going to be protesters there? Are you planning, like in my head, I'm like, are you planning on protesting? And then it was not a surprise to me that he was one of the people that didn't to give us the permit for the event. And
wow.
I think that, I will say, and I totally agree, I feel what, you know, Charlie has shared this experience with the committee as well that she had. And it's weird because we think of New England and Newton and Brookline and surrounding places in the western suburbs of Boston as being very liberal places in general. And people who vote in a certain way and have certain belief systems. And we think of it as being a more progressive area. And so when you come up against energy like this, and we all know it exists, like we're not blinded to it, but it's always for me a little bit surprising when I see it in, like, I just expected the city of Newton to be different a little bit, I guess, because they had already voted on this, and passed this new way of celebrating instead of Columbus for Indigenous people. So I kind of thought, like, I didn't really understand when that meeting happened why that was happening. And I kind of kicked myself afterwards. I'm like, of course that would happen. I don't know why I thought that wouldn't happen. Of course there are going to be people that are going to be against this. Why would I think that this place would be any different than any other place in the United States? Like, it doesn't, I don't know. But I felt like I was a little naive going into that meeting, and I think I was taken aback by the response.
Definitely.
And so that made me a little sad, but it also made me really proud of the other members of the community that did stand up and speak out during that meeting and have since continued to do so. And and our committee members for really holding it down that meeting. We did really well and we composed ourselves really well. We weren't we were just so eloquent and articulate and passionate and it was, that was, it for me, a really beautiful moment that showed me the strength of the committee, the strength of our supporters in the community as well. But then also just made me, reminded me that, you know, we need to look out for ourselves too, because, you know, stuff could go down. You know, I don't know that,
no,
and luckily, you know, we will have a security detail, you know, that's going to happen. But You know, yeah. That it is a little scary.
That's the reality of our society too, you know, when people who love mm-hmm. violence, when they mm-hmm. feel desperate, you know, and threatened. You know, last year, I won't say where, but it was in the metropolitan area. There was a gathering of protests against Columbus last year. I won't say the borough, just to protect the identity of certain people. And a group of people showed up with axe handles and threatening the protesters.
Wow.
Up to the point where one person that was against the protest actually had a name and an address, one of the organizers. So that's scary when they have your name and address. So or your address, phone number, whatever. Because now you're like, that's like, you're crossing the line right there. So it was.
Yeah.
This stuff is not easy work. This is why it's extra special. You guys have pulled this off, right? You pulled it off. This is it.
We have pulled it off and then some. Uh-huh. And, you know, not all of us knew each other before we started working together. So that's been also a part of a learning curve for us, is we've all come from different walks of life. And and I didn't know anyone on this committee. I literally met Darlene, Dr. Flores, via a mutual friend that also lives in Newton. And she was like, you should know Darlene. And then I connected with Darlene and then found out that she was one of the co-founders of this committee and involved in organizing this ceremony. And I said, I just contacted her and I was like, I want in. Like, I want to be on this committee. I want to be a part of something that's beautiful. And I want to know the community more and all of that, because I've, you know, had my head in the sand for a little while. This is all new. You know, working with this particular group, like, I knew not one person on this committee prior, not even Darlene, because I had only just met her on Facebook. Like, we didn't know each other in person either. So I think that that's been something else about activism. I don't always think of myself as an activist. I think of myself as someone who does stuff that needs to get done. And maybe that's what an activist is. I'm not sure. But, like, if I see that there's a need and I know that I have the skills to serve, that's the kind of stuff I want to do. So I'm not an activist with a capital A, but I'm definitely a concerned community member and someone who to share information. You know, I'm not a hoarder of information. I want to learn and then teach and, like, give and take and all of these different things, because we can't survive unless we reciprocate in this world, right? So
right.
That's been
beautiful
too. Like, it's been a really special thing to learn how to work. And so much of what we do in the work is, like, all through Zoom. We don't always see each other in person. We barely see each other in person. It's all, like, phone calls, texting, and Zoom meetings.
That's so wonderful. Well, with that being said, we have, after some technical difficulties, we have another committee member, and that's Dr. Darlene Flores. So let's see, get her on. Let me see. Está ahí, doctora Darlene? She's also my cousin. Are you there, Darlene?
Usa nonu, dai dile, arahi abo. Hello, Daluku. How are you guys? I'm here. I was having some technical difficulties, but I'm here now, and I am present, and I'm loving hearing your lovely voices. So
that's
let's
wonderful.
Keep it going.
Wow. Well, you know, as I mentioned before, this is a great committee. But Darlene, tell us your experience from day one.
My experience from day one is it's been a freaking roller coaster. It's crazy. It's this is not smooth. You know, we're fighting every step of the way, and, you know, and we're doing a good job, and we're still here. So, and we're going to have a great, an amazing ceremonial celebration. I don't know if we've talked about who's coming, but I am super excited for the opportunity to have so many elders present, to have so many nations together, you know. So I'm just super duper excited, and I'm proud. I feel proud. This, to me, you know, is a big deal. And to think about in 10 years, you know, when my children say, my mommy did that, you know. So, yeah,
that's,
and
right,
I'm doing it with some amazing people. Like, these women are badass, you know.
Well, we kind of hinted to it before about the vendors and stuff and the people that are coming. Do you want to share who's going to be there? You know, be presenting and vendors. And stuff?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to need help from the other ladies to help me with the names.
Sure.
We have a Mexica group coming, and their name is Charlie, you know how to say their name?
Oh, that's that Mayan name. That's Teclanes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't figure out. Maybe Charlie. Maybe Charlie knows how to say the name. And
which name, Mama?
The name of the Mexica group.
Of the Mexica group?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. I have to go in my phone and go look at it.
Well, continue on. Continue on.
Yep, go ahead.
So we have the Mexicas, we have a Peruvian group, we have Cacique George Estevez, he's going to be there. We have Bibi Vanessa, she's going to be there. We have Ty Pelly, you know, these are like superstars in the Taino community, you know what I mean? So I'm super excited about that. We also have the boxer coming, Kaylee Cole. We have a good food truck by Stan Hayek Holmes. He's a Mashpee Wampanoag. Our actual MC is Anawan Whedon, and he's also a Mashpee Wampanoag. In the beginning, at noon, when we start our ceremony, it's a collective ceremony, so we're going to have, elder from Narragansett. We're going to have some elders from Shinnecock, I think Aquinna. So it's going to be nice. It really is. And it's all about unity and community. So that is the energy and the basic theme of everything. So I'm super excited, like I said. And it's coming up so quick. And, you know, we're trying to dot the I's and cross the T's. You know how it goes, you know.
Definitely. That sounds like a great lineup.
Aren't you coming? You are coming.
Oh, the indigenous media will be there. Taino Radio. Oh, my God. That's it.
Exactly. Yes.
So that Mexica Mexica group is the Naucampa. Sepilitzi Naucampa. That's the Mexica group. And then the Peruvian dance group is
Pumawari Tusui.
Pumawari Tusui.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's deep.
That's nice.
Pumawari Tusui. Wow. We also have dancers coming. They're called the Soul Rhythmics. The dancers. Yeah. Oh, we have such a lineup. It's wow.
Yeah.
That's
we
awesome.
Got some live acts happening.
Should people bring regalia? Like, what's the dress code for people that want to dance or something?
Wear your regalia. Absolutely.
Of course. Yeah, come in regalia.
Ceremonial celebration. Yes. Wear
be ready to hang out. You know, so if you want, bring a chair. You know, or a towel, whatever you want to do, so you can hang out. And it's gonna be a good time. And Stan Hayek Holmes will also have his coffee. Native coffee. I think that's the name of it.
Mm.
And,
Native time.
Yeah.
Native time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So,
on a little different note, and I'm going to throw this out there because I like to plug myself. So because the Boston Marathon, we have sponsors that are running in the Boston Marathon. I created a ribbon that marathon runners will be running that will represent indigenous peoples from all over, from North America, South America, Central America, and I named it the Indigenous Peoples Exist Ribbon. So we're still here, stronger than ever, and then it's also hashtag they're still here. So our allies, when they wear it, they're representing us as well. So marathon runners will be running with our ribbon, and everyone that's vending and supporting the sponsors and performers will have a ribbon during Indigenous Peoples Day ceremonial celebration.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, yeah.
And we'll also be doing bomba. Bomba.
Wow.
We're going to end it with a bombazo.
That's great. It's always a good day to have bomba. That's great.
Yes, always a good day for bomba.
And the spirit of Taino Nation of the Great Antilles will be there because I used to be a member, and Bibi Vanessa also used to be a member, so we'll be representing, I guess, you know, from that the original group members of Taino Nation. So that's always good, a little history, right?
Yes, nice. That's nice. That's why I said you guys have been in the movement for a while.
She always reminds me about that. We're like the last remnants, you know, of that original group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had joined in 93, I believe. So it was we had a good time back then, and we're still having fun, right? It's only getting better, right? Through the years. So that's wonderful. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get. You know, I promise. You know what? Hold on a second. Since you all are women, mother clan women and women warriors, I'm going to get a song here written by the late Edwin Cedeño.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what song, right? You know what song I want to play, right?
Play it.
It's the Atabe song. As a blessing for all of you in the committee and all the organizers.
Atavera guagua bibi guagua bibi. Atavera guagua bibi guagua rababa. Atavera guagua bibi guagua kiana guti. Atavera guagua suimako. Atavera guagua suimako. Atavera guagua bibi
thank you, Edum Sid Daniel, who's in Guave right now looking over us. And he's going to be there, of course, in Newton. Hey, check it out. I promised a song for Christina, her name? Christina? I'm sorry, I'm bad with names. Cristina, ¿verdad? Cristina.
Cristina.
Okay, this is from Renata Flores, Quechua. The song is called Mirando la Misma Luna. And let's check it out.
Ya sentí su pitar canchi. Hay en Guanicuna Kakura. Hay en Jaricuna Kakura. Pasun Suyukuna Kakura.
Wow.
Thank you for sharing.
What an amazing. Oh, she's amazing, right?
Mirando
yeah,
la misma
she, the way
luna.
She got famous is when she was 14, she, with the work, I think, of her grandmother, she translated Michael Jackson's The Way You Make Me Feel in Quechua.
Oh, right.
And she put it on YouTube, and that's how she became famous. She's only 14. Now she's like, I don't even think she's maybe 20 now, and she just came out with her
yeah.
first official album. But she's been a lot of the raperos from Peru. There's this movement in Peru now with youth that are really trying to reclaim Quechua, and it's exciting to hear the iterations of the way that the hip-hop movement there and the raperos are, and her with her pop music and her Quechua pop music are, like, coming together. It's exciting to see the way the way our movement looks in different places, right, and sort of reclaiming our heritages and our languages. Yeah.
Oh,
so she's exciting. She's still so young. She has so many years, I hope, to create more music. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. No, I like it. You know, in his video, Mirando la Misma Luna, the same moon, she goes back and forth in images with the, what do you call it, traditional kind of, you know, she's holding a staff,
yes.
some traditional clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's modern, you know, she's modern, contemporary,
mm-hmm.
goes back and forth. And excellent, you know, wow. Listen, ladies, I'm going to open up the lines. We got one caller who's been waiting patiently, so let's see what we got, okay? Let's see if you have any questions you want to, oh, hold on a second. It could be a caller wanted to ask a question, or are you just listening to the show? I put you on the line. Well, I think it's quiet. That means.
Oh, it's hello?
Hello? Yes. Are you there?
Hey, it's Q. How are you guys doing?
Oh, who is it?
It's Kiara. Ay, bendito. No me conocen. You were in my yard. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You don't hear me? No, I'm listening to what you guys are talking about.
Hello, hello. How are you today?
Hey, yeah, but Columbus Day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Indigenous People's Day.
Yeah,
go for it.
Like renaming it. I'm totally for it. For me, as an educator, I want to, because I had some colleagues of mine, I'm in a middle school, and they actually spoke to some friends of mine that I identify as Taino who are not part of the group, and also members of the group. And what I wanted to hit home for my colleagues who teach social studies is the paper
nice.
Genocide. You know,
oh,
and how
that's really good.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, a lot of us, like, I'm 43, and I didn't learn about being Taino until I was like in my late 30s. You know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of us adults had the same experience. And I did a unit with my students about it, and I talked to my colleagues, and I was like, "Dude, we're still here." Like, I
yeah.
had my mom.
Yeah, my daughter. She knows we're
dad,
still
my
here.
Sister,
she knows her history.
Yeah, you know, but then it's like there's so many other kids that, you know, that I have one student who lives near 59th Street and sees the protest, and her name is Kiara, and she was in seventh grade, and she was like, "Miss Escobar, why are people holding signs? They look so upset, and they're wearing feathers." And I was like, "I know those people." I was like, "They're protesting Columbus Day."
Oh, my
and
God.
Yeah, I explained to my students, like, I showed videos, and I was like, you know, both sides, that Italian-Americans want to hold on to their pride, and they want to affirm their identity, but it's at the expense of another culture's identity. And, you know, and we had, like, a debate and a discussion about it, and the kids were really into it. So
I just realized who you are.
Oh, now it hits you.
Dang.
Yeah, man. Dude, we did ceremony in my yard.
This is amazing. I'm sorry, I apologize.
No, don't worry about it. It's been a minute because of COVID. I've been like at home, just like isolating.
Mm-hmm.
My immune system's not so great, but amazing talk.
Oh,
it's been great to you guys discussing. I didn't even know that it was happening in Utah where you guys were at. that you guys had that big fight.
Yeah, I hope you come. Like, I hope you come. It's going to be at the Albemarle Park in Newton on the 11th of October, Monday, Indigenous Peoples Day, from 12 to 5.
From 12 to 5?
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
beautiful. Get out there. Oh,
wow, look at that. And the doll that you gave me, the Indian doll, she's right in front of me. So this is interesting.
Yay! All right, I know, because I gave him another one and it was stolen. He was so bummed. I felt so bad. It was like that. It had trouble, right? It traveled. And it was funny because when I gave him the doll, I told him, she's going to give you the side eye. You have to promise to take care of her. And he was like, she did give me the side eye. And I was like, you got to promise her. And I'm glad that she's still with you.
She's with me always, right in front of me. She's giving me this a super side eye now because I didn't know who you were. Damn.
No,
but that's cool, man.
These are Sokum dolls that, like, housewives used to make, and they used to put them together to make money. So I collect dolls of color, mostly African-American representation.
Do you have the one that has the two heads, like one side,
yes,
she looks white, and then you put her dress down or up, and then she's black doll?
Yes, I have some of those. It was funny because in a Facebook group, we were talking about representation and how it was common to have, it's called now Blackamoor or Black Americana, where people who are not of color collecting representations that are racist of people of color, like cookie jars and like vases. And sometimes for me, I see an object, and if you look at, I think it's the Jim Crow Museum, and they have a lot of representations of that. But I haven't seen, like, really a museum that really talks about, like, the indigenous representations that are really negative. There's some artists that I introduced my kids to when I did the unit on political art. I forgot the artist's name. But he uses a lot of, like, the Pocahontas, the cartoons that are represented. Yeah, and he uses that in his art to teach because his kids now are told that because I think he married a white woman, that they're not indigenous enough. And so it's like representing. Yeah, in 2021 of what it looks like. Like my nephew just had two kids, and I'm teaching his children about being indigenous, and I create like you know those fans you use, like it's like a hand fan to sage. So I get like claws and I put wings on it, and I'm trying to like create one for my nieces. I have two nieces and my nephew, so they could pass down with like a shell. And I was like, I'm going to teach you how to clean it. I want you to sage, and I want you to pass it down to your kids. You know?
Oh, wow.
Because it's not being like a lot of, like, we're the Neo Tainos, you know? And like, we have to like come together and create traditions. Like in my school, I do something called advisory. And it's funny, my minor was art therapy. So in advisory, I'm supposed to be like guiding kids and giving them life advice. And then the curriculum we use is called Circles, and it's a Native American curriculum. But in my school, they don't really follow it. So for me, we have like a talking piece. So I need to talk to you, Sana Kori, about like, because I'm going to start on Monday. But like, I have like, I want to create a talking piece, like feathers. I want to have like I'm going to bring one of my semis in and create a table like in the middle and be like, yo, take this seriously because this is my culture. I'm going to come in with my regalia. And when we do advisory, I'm like, come correct. Don't break the circle. We're a community here. So I'm working on shifting my school.
Wow, that's beautiful. See all these activist stuff going on. So I got to get you on the next show then, talk about all this activism. Cool. But, yeah, well, you know, lady, we're running out of time. Can you give us the final instruction? I'm going to download this on YouTube so people can get the information. What final information you want to share about the event on October 10th? I mean, the 11th? Double one. So what park is this located? Are we going to have the event?
Indigenous Peoples Day Newton, the ceremonial celebration, is going to be taking place at Albemarle Fields in Newton, Massachusetts, from 12 to 5 p.m. Come in regalia. It's free. This is a family-friendly event outdoors. We will be following CDC guidelines for COVID. But it's going to be a blast, and I can't wait to see everybody.
And
thank you for having us on this show,
yeah.
Sanakori. That was amazing and beautiful, and keep doing what you're doing. We're grateful.
Thank you. Thank you. No, man, vice versa.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
You
I can't
so
wait.
Much.
Yeah, thank you for your beautiful voices, and both physical and also your spiritual voices, helping the people come together, man. This is amazing. I'm going to go live at least 2.5 hours that day. So I'll try to interview people that day, okay?
Yeah, sorry.
And even people just showing up, the strangers. Hey, come on, say a few words. What's going down? So we can record that, okay? And I'll put it on YouTube. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, man, let's do this. This is great. Hey, listen, I'm going to play one more song to close up the show. And this is, again, Juan Luis Guerra. Once again, in 1992, they criticized him for coming out with this album talking about the Taino, you know, culture. And this song is called Naboria Daka Mayanimakana. Basically, in the song, he's saying, you know, I'm of the mountain, I'm of the river, I'm Taino. Please don't kill me. So this is a very powerful song. So thank you, ladies. Blessings to you all. Okay.
Naboria daka huaitiao mayane makana Naboria daka